Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Are we doing this? Happy Thanksgiving.
We're doing this. We're doing this.
Yes.
I'm thankful for the end, for this game ending. That's what I'm thankful for.
I'm thankful for the reality check that a bunch of people needed. And hey,
died. Three people?
Tonight.
Some of us.
This was exactly what, so Celtics lose 123-104 to the Brooklyn Nets. And everybody who's watching the show most likely knows that by now. This is exactly the loss that I was hoping wouldn't happen. And we talked on Monday night. We said, sure, we hope the Celtics can compete in this game. It'll kind of validate a little bit of this winning streak that they've been on and kind of give fans a reason to say, okay, this wasn't just wins over shitty teams. This is a team that's kind of got it figured out and is a contender and all this stuff. Well, listen, I know that the Nets shot really well and the Celtics shot like shit, but there's truth behind both of those things. And at the end of the day, you got blown out of this game from start to finish. You can talk about this, you know, valiant second half comeback. All you want that was fake news, basically. But the point, the gist of it is, the Nets cruised control through this game, and you know, that's the end of it. There was really no game from start to finish.
Your thoughts? I'm not. If I start, I'll never stop.
Bobby, Josue.
Well, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. Okay.
Yeah. I'm giving
start,
them.
I'll never stop.
Let's go to the guys who were there.
Honestly, I'm giving them more
than the Nets. They did their homework. I mean, I thought they came out strong on defense. You know, the 3-point shot was falling in the first half, which has sort of been the formula to beat the Celtics. You know, especially the first opening weeks of the season Celtics. But I mean, to the Celtics' credit, they fought. They hung in there in that second half. I mean, those couple of those huge punches, those blows towards the fourth quarter. I would to something that John was probably going to say right now. I would say that they kind of laid down. You know, it was a tough blow. I thought that crucial timeout, what was it, a 7-point game at that point? And when they were unable to convert and the Nets responded with a 3-pointer, they were defeated by then. I mean, you could just see it on their body language. So.
Again,
7-point game? Yeah. When the hell did that happen? That couldn't have been close to the first quarter.
Oh, no, I think it was like a 9-point game. Sorry.
Bobby,
it was relatively close. It was the last time this was
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we can hear it.
You got it. We can hear it. I'm mad enough at the game. I can't get mad at Bobby this early.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. It's not right. You, Bobby.
Oh, man. I'm so
you
far
have to
away
warn
from
me. I got a stuffing in the oven. So 10 minutes, guys. 10:30.
Get a reminder from the chat in 10 minutes? John has to run it.
Everyone in the chat.
Are you that guy that has to have like at least one of the sides the day before Thanksgiving just to get yourself ready? Like,
no.
Well, you got to cook them in advance or else you're
everything,
screwed.
Everything is better a day later. The pies need a full day for the juices to really kind of get in there. At least a day.
I like that. I prefer that. I thought you're one of those guys that has to eat a little bit. You know. Okay.
Well, you pick. You can't really pick at a pie, though.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to know.
You can't really pick at a pie. You know what we did, though?
Everybody knows that.
Pretty elite move. We had a little extra pie dough for the crust, and we made little tarts with the leftover filling, and that's what we snacked on.
Well, you're a pie guy. Solid. I mean, one look at you, I could tell you're a pie guy. That's a veteran move right there. That's a pie guy move. Make a little bit extra. That's how you pick at a pie.
That's a pie guy move. You can't just take a freaking slice out of it.
No.
Bring it to Thanksgiving.
You can't present a pie that's been picked.
It's like showing up at a party with like three beers, you know, and like, or like
right.
half a bottle of whiskey, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Here you go, guys.
Now, if it's a dip, you can get away with picking at a dip, but you just can't. Anyways, let's get back to this real quick. We'll get to the we'll get to sides a little bit.
Well, hold on. Let me ask John this. Well, towards the end of that, I felt like towards the end of my response, there was a lot of cringing. I'm assuming you didn't like the Celtics approach in the second half.
It's not the approach. The easiest thing in the world to do is to come back when the other team lets its foot off the gas. And people will feel better and they'll say things like nice run. It doesn't matter. It's fool's gold. It means nothing. It's empty calories. I don't care at all about it. Yes, absolutely. Easiest thing to do is to play 29 points down when the other team doesn't give a crap and has a huge margin for error. That means nothing, okay?
With Durant on the bench,
it means nothing. So anybody who was like, "Ooh, they got close," I'm sorry, I'm throwing that out the window. At the end of the day, remember last year's first Brooklyn game? What a reality check that was. It was like, oh, this is a good measuring stick, you know, to see where you are. Well, the first real measuring stick to see where you are against a truly elite team in the East, which you haven't fully gotten to play because when you played Milwaukee without their three best players and eked out an overtime win, was tonight against the Nets. And they weren't even fully loaded for bear. And they just friggin' embarrassed you. The level of what I believe to be the upper echelon teams in the East and where the Celtics are and how far from it they are, you know, is very obvious when you see this. The most depressing thing about it, I texted you, you guys, is, you know, this is what
I got some quotes from Eway in a second, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, but the real bummer is watching this game. You know, if you're the Celtics, you're loaded up and you're thinking this is going to be great. Let's see where we are. It looked to me like Brooklyn came in and treated the Celtics like the Celtics would have treated, like, you know, the Bulls 3 years ago, the Rockets. Like, it doesn't matter. If we can play 10 minutes and beat these guys, we don't have to give a full effort. They looked bored. Bored by the Celtics, you know?
I didn't look at it that way. This team can never beat us.
They did their homework. The Celtics just missed everything. Celtics missed everything. Yeah, the bat, cold from three. They couldn't break it. They bricked every three they took.
I feel like they had a lot of hands in the Celtics' faces. Like, I feel like that pressure was just in that first half. It took the Celtics a while to wake up, and I was surprised that this thing didn't get to a 30-point hole in the first half, like the way they were looking. But you know, they hung around. You know, to John's point, it was when Durant was on the bench a lot of the times. But I just feel like whether it was those pick and pops with Al in the post, or whether it was like in transition, like I just felt like they knew where the ball was going to go in the first half. In the second half, they let up. They let up in a big way.
So coaching. So you're saying,
Joe Sway, real quick, you had something from Ime. What's up?
Oh yeah. So Ime says this is the first time in a long time the Celtics were out hustled. He also added that the Celtics can't let their offense affect their defense. He thought that the Celtics that affected the Celtics in the wrong way, which is kind of what I meant in the beginning there. Like
early
season
problems, right? You know,
yeah, exactly.
We're seeing that a lot early.
Not the same sort of like lingering frustration where you sort of knew they were going to make the wrong, you know, the same mistakes over and over. I just felt like it was they just when things were down, you saw it affect their offense. And it was just like, well, no, keep going with the defense. And then, I don't know.
And it starts and ends with
that
who?
Huge run coming out of halftime. And this has happened before, you know, when opposing teams, they come out of halftime, they have a big run, and the Celtics just they try to play uphill. And it's just too much for them. You know, they just can't overcome.
And it starts and ends with who?
Well, Tatum, obviously.
This is a bummer after the four
straight 30s where you're like, okay, great. You know, just to go, you know, the classic offense affects the defense sort of thing.
Well, John,
thing
who's
here,
he talking about? I mean, who's Ime talking about? It's very obvious. You don't go on the podium and talk about
our offense affect our defense.
It's this right here, and it was very interesting. We were all talking about it. Wow, where was Jason Tatum in the fourth quarter? When it was a double digit game. But if you're gonna make a comeback, you know, theoretically you would put your best player in the court unless you were unhappy with him. And it's not the 1-for-9 that he's unhappy about. It's what he just said on the podium, which is we can't let our offense affect our defense. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, 1-for-9. Jason Tatum just shot 1-for-9. I think it wasn't it Monday he shot 1-for-9 or Friday? One of those games.
From three.
Exactly. He scored in other ways, and they played defense, and they won the game. Well, tonight was a little different story. You know, Tatum probably wanted to come out, have a great shooting night against Durant and Harden and the guys that give him all the respect. and he didn't. And did that affect him on the defensive end? Well, it sounds like, according to his head coach, it did. Because, again, Ime is not talking about the bench guys. He's talking about the starters and the stars of this team. Jaylen Brown obviously still is not where he needs to be. 23 minutes tonight. Again, barely played in the fourth quarter. Was taken out multiple times in the second half. So who knows where he is physically and how that's affecting him on both ends of the court. If you want to give any player credit, I'll give Marcus Smart credit tonight for his effort. If you want to, effort in the second half, he was a part of that run there, and he was playing, solid defense. He was taking charges, and I forgot about the back and forth between him and Harden, which is kind of a fun one. If you guys remember a couple years ago, that
was
comeback.
The best freaking.
That was unbelievable. Yeah, against the Rockets when he got caught Harden in an offensive foul and the turnover and. Just an improbable Celtics comeback. So I kind of forgot about that, and it reminded me of it tonight. So that was good to see Marcus Smart. And Smart was in there until, the four-minute mark, and I think Ime just threw in the white flag at that point. So I don't think Ime's talking about Smart, but I think he is talking about Tatum and, go down the line, I guess.
Yeah, again, I don't know what's going on, going on with Jaylen, whether it was mental or he's just sitting there kind of thinking I don't know what I've got on this thing. And he's taking it really slow on the hamstring, kind of like Harden was at points in the, last year, particularly late in the year. But he looked like he was very cognizant of it. But Tatum just laid a freaking egg and was just like a sulky, pouty mess.
Minus 33. I mean,
minus 33. Really, really bad.
It's hard to do.
He was sulking.
All of this,
he was sulking, Tatum.
All of this, he was. And all
they
of
let
this,
the, did they let the refs get to him too? Because the refs were. What's
refs
that?
Were rough.
I mean, I just
for Tatum, he was. I mean, he when that that foul that was going to be his third, he was so adamant with the coaching staff. No, we need to challenge it, and they did, and obviously they won it. But I think he thought that would be a crucial turnaround because he wouldn't have to go to the bench with three fouls. But. Didn't help much.
Yeah, that's a rough one. It's so funny. The chat's saying, I get some people in the chat saying we
toss
let Jaylen Brown off the hook too much, and other people who say we don't give him enough credit and he's our best player.
We never talk about him.
Yeah, it's usually what people say.
Well, listen, I'm not letting Jaylen Brown off the hook. I know he was a game-time decision tonight, and he didn't look like, prime-time Jaylen Brown, so I'm thinking that he's still not all the way back. So I'm not really letting him off the hook as I'm just assuming that he's not his normal self. Now, does that mean that he shouldn't be able to, play defense or be a better distributor? No. So I'm not letting him completely off the hook. I'm just acknowledging the fact that, according to the team and injury reports, he's not quite there yet. So
here's
I don't know.
Comment.
Is he going to play every other game or play 50% every game? Then it's obviously going to suck.
Here's a comment, something we actually
God.
We were texting each other about it. Because
we need Bobby for this.
No, but I mean, we texted Bobby, and
Bobby
like,
wrote a whole article on this.
I don't think Tatum and Brown passed to each other once, and Bobby Manning, once he changes his name, I'll let him back into the chat. Bobby Manning went and did his research and looked at it, and he can talk about this very thing. But yes, Tatum and Brown, oh, here he does it again.
Centering in.
Bobby Manning wrote about this. No, they don't pass to each other a lot.
Bobby, is this your burner?
Pretty low.
Purpose over pleasure. Is this your burner account? Bobby, take it away.
Well, anyway, five passes total between these two over the course of games on a per game basis. It's pretty stunning. I mean, you asked about the wings. I went and looked at a bunch of guys after you said that, Jimmy. I only put a few in the article. But even Kawhi and Paul George last year, about 15, 16 passes over the course of a game between those two. And again, tonight, I didn't have the numbers in front of me. I wasn't keeping track, John. But you really didn't see them going to each other all that much directly.
No.
There's passing sequences between them. Like last game, I saw Brown drive baseline.
I know, but I did see them one time. I saw them once sit on the bench smiling at each other. So everything's fine, Bobby. It's fine.
So that's where
Bobby.
I
do you remember? Do you remember some of the numbers from your article? And it was a good article. I mean, if somebody's interested in
CLNSmedia.com, go check it out. Bobby Manning went deep on this topic because we wondered it aloud. Yeah,
I think it's 5-6 passes per game between the two, two each way.
And what's that relative to
crap?
Other...
It's 10:30, guys.
Oh yeah, John. We'll see you in a minute.
Keep talking about the.
Yeah. Bobby, for
remind him at 10:30.
He did, yeah. Bobby, to give some people a little bit of like idea of how that compares to other players, do you remember some of the other teammate passes that you recall numbers wise?
Yeah, I know CJ Dame passed to CJ about 15 times a game. Giannis and Drew Holiday's totals are pretty high, close to 20 passes between them each game. I think the average like star duo in the league passes directly between each other, I'd say somewhere between 10 to 15 times a game. And I didn't rank every single star on this list. I kind of just handpicked, you know, some in the East, some in the West. LeBron going 15 times pretty much between him and Russ, him and Davis. I'd be hard pressed to find two stars passing each other fewer than three times a game each. Like that is just such a low total. It really stands out. And, you know, you would kind of have two different discussions here. Like, do Jalen and Jason like each other as people in the room, as personalities? And then there's the question of playing on the court. And when you have Ime saying pregame before the Houston game, they need to learn how to play with each other. He said that about three times each.
Yeah, which is
like that's that speaks to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think what the reason it's relevant is because the narrative has always been, can they make their teammates better? Well, wait a minute, can they make each other better? You know, is that something that's actually, like, is that even on their agenda, you know? And when you look at a stat like that, or the way you just broke that down, Bobby, like, it's staggering when you really think about it. I mean, we're talking about two elite guys who are clear-cut, the top two guys of this team, two guys who, in my opinion, are both still getting better. They haven't reached their, you know, peak yet. And you see the pieces around them get better, but it was really frustrating to see this team without Jalen for that long stretch. So, again, like, it's something we've talked about, but at the same time, we still have to wait to see it through. Like, have we really? I mean, you can look at one game or two games, or you know, that's such a small sample size where those two guys have played together this season. But there's so many contributing factors to those statistics, right? Whether it's Jalen playing hurt, whether it's Jalen coming back from COVID, you know, even when he's available, was he 100%? Same thing you could say, you know, about Jalen. I mean, about Jason. So, I still say we have to wait and see this thing through. But I can understand where everyone's coming from. You know, I can understand why those quotes were in Bontemps' piece, you know, these numbers from Bobby's piece, you know, it makes sense, but at the same time, there's a lot of things going on with this team.
All right, guys, take a quick pause. We want to tell you about our sponsor, one of our sponsors, exclusive wagering partner, Bet Online. It is Thanksgiving. We all know what that means. Football. Nothing is better with football than turkey and, you know,
gambling. A couple of bucks there.
What are you going to do? You got games all day, right?
You're in a food coma. Yeah. You're on the couch, brother. Yeah. You're just trying to make a couple bucks.
And you know
right
which
before the apple pie comes.
You guys can spice up, you know, spice things up, spice up the football games as you're watching them.
Right. That's right. So, BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines, bet, you know, than ever before. Number one spot for all your sports action this Thanksgiving. So, again, head to the new updated desktop or mobile website. Sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code CLNS50. Once again, sign up today. 50% welcome bonus with the promo code CLNS50. Not just football, of course. BetOnline has pro and college hoops and NHL, boxing, UFC, a Vegas casino game. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for now, the whole 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Stuffed. Get it? They are stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. Stuffing. So again, stuffing.
I got it.
Number one.
CLNS50.
Number one, as we said, it's peanut butter M&Ms and stuffing. Stuffing is the number one Thanksgiving side. It's not even close. So again, bet.
It's gotta be good stuffing. On that. It's gotta be the right stuffing. If it's dry, I don't want anything to do with it.
I don't know. Of course. I mean, bad food is bad food, right?
Right, bad stuffing bad can pizza. Really go south fast.
A bad version of everything is bad. Yeah.
You know, it's going to have the right ingredients in it. Stuffing can be anything. Yeah. It can be anything into that stuffing.
Yeah, as a rule, anytime you have a food discussion, you have to imagine the best version of each of those foods when you have the discussion.
Well, then it's got to be like mac and cheese, I guess, is the answer for
it's
everything.
Pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But in this case, BetOnline is stuffed with deals. So last time I'll tell you, betonline.ag, use the code CLNS50, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Get into the action this Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm.
Not to
what
make
are
any
of those things,
but they're under a microscope. They're under a microscope. sure.
Who's not under a microscope? For real.
Everyone else except for Jalen. No one else under a microscope like those two. Oh, maybe
I got those
E-May
numbers.
Too.
I got
no,
some
I'm
of
saying nationally.
Let's get Bobby's numbers real quick. He's got some numbers.
Well, Harden KD, for example. Harden passes to KD 18 times a game.
But he's a point guard. Like,
AD yeah, to Harden.
The point guard ones are going to be a little higher. We know that.
It's exceptionally
but it is a big,
low.
But it's
exceptionally
is the point,
low.
Though. Yeah, the
yeah
point
I mean, the comparison's Kawhi George because the Clippers pretty much play the same exact style the Celtics do. They got their guards, but it's running through their wings.
Well, for
Kawhi
this team,
passed to George 6 times a game, George to Kawhi 8 times a game.
Okay,
I think,
so 14
I think
total.
That's what we're all trying to say here. For this team, it's pretty low because, like we've been saying all offseason.
Everything
the season,
is low.
They're clear-cut number one and two, and then there's a little bit of a gap. Exactly. And then whether you want to put Schroeder, Horford, or whoever, Smart, there's that gap between those two.
Well, there's some weird numbers being thrown around that I don't understand why. Like assists, potential assists, blah, blah, blah. Like
potential wins.
None of this makes sense, guys. This
it's
is
like
a team.
Excuses.
This is a
it
team.
Is excuses.
This is a team that was heading into tonight 12th in the NBA overall in field goal percentage. That's not that low, okay? Yet they were second overall in ISO percentage and something like 22nd or 23rd in ISO field goal percentage, which means they run a lot of ISO. They're really friggin' bad at it. And in fact, when they do pass, they actually score at a fairly high clip. So this idea that they're leaving stuff on the table with these potential assists is silly. They're a team that does not help each other create baskets. They're near the bottom third of the league. They're not though. That's the thing. They're fine. They're 30th and 40th overall in the league in assists right now. Smart and Schroeder. That means everybody's got a guy who does it that much. Like, that's not great, you know?
Yeah,
if your starting point guard is 30th in the league in assists and 20th among guards, that's low. Bottom third
again,
is all I'm saying.
We're working at a process, though. It's better than last year. You can't do worse than the assist rate was last year.
No, but they are doing worse. They're slightly worse this year.
I think the ball movement's been fine, and that's where their potential assists
are. No, and they're slightly worse, and their assist numbers and their potential assist numbers are exactly in line with one another. So they are exactly what you would expect for the amount that this team passes the ball. They're not doing anything more. They're not. They're just, we're so used to it being this way that even a slight uptick in improvement over a small period of time, and we are like, oh, look, they moved the ball today. They do not do that very well. They do not help each other create baskets. And again, this is what this piece, among a million others that have been written, keeps saying is everyone – these aren't hit pieces. Like, I don't think Bontemps went out there looking for it. I think he's asking people – what do you think about the Celtics? And the general vibe you get outside of the little Celtic Green echo chamber that you hear here is you got two guys who are supremely talented but don't really make their teammates better. You've heard it how many freaking times now? I mean,
yeah, but you have some other nonsense in there, like Tatum only cares about his numbers and he wants to score 39 in a win and he's not willing to score.
It's nonsense. Why? Because we live in Boston?
Because we watch him every game. He willingly gives up the ball off
doubles. But I think what John is asking is, do you think it's nonsense
ball.
That an NBA GM would say that? Like, I don't think
you
nonsense.
Think it's nonsense. I think if Jason Tatum played
you think
somewhere
it's nonsense?
Else.
I think I pretty much have said this already, that when Tatum's having a bad game, he's very upset with when he's having a bad game. When he's having a great game, he's very happy by having a great game. You see it on the social media posts, you know, drop 50 on him, whatever. Even if it's a win, it's more about the personal performance. And I'm not saying he's all about himself, but I'm not stunned to hear a GM say something along those lines. I mean, I think if you watch, you know that he gets very high and very low about his performances.
Yeah, I feel like if the Celtics were the
Sixers. Is that crazy?
No, you're right. I mean, look, if you sent the entire Celtics roster over to Philadelphia, we would be killing them.
Right.
Like, look at these losers, and they got these two guys, and all they want to do is score, and the rest of their team is terrible.
They don't pass to each other.
They don't like each other. They don't pass to each other. Like, people would be having a field day with it. This is what people on the outside, I think, generally think.
We did it with the Sixers.
Every game, they just kind of catch bits and pieces. They have perceptions of what's going on. These questions were asked when the Celtics were stumbling, and it's like, oh,
no, they weren't. They've been asked at every period of time over the last couple of years, and the general consensus is, these guys are not, their number one focus is not making one another better. It's they're both supremely talented at scoring the basketball. They are unique individual talents, but they aren't able to make each other or their teammates better. And until they do that, they're not going to get better. And so that's just generally what people think. But the other side of the article is the rest of the roster is garbage. And that's also fair. And that makes their job that much harder because at the end of the day, that's one of the things the article talks about, is you got really lucky with Horford and Schroeder because you got professional basketball players on this team to go along with Smart and then Rob's ascendancy. But the rest of the roster is a bunch of people that you're forced to play because you drafted them and they stink, you know? And like,
and you're really like grasping at anything that they do well.
Anything.
To hang on to something. Like, yeah. Oh, like Romeo looked aware tonight. Like, it's just like things like that where it's like, actually, guys in their second and third years that are really good, you don't need to point out the little things that they're doing well on a random night.
Like, well, that's where
they
we're
just
at.
Play good basketball. Like, it's that simple.
Switch, he could hang around with, you know, Durant. So that was good. That's encouraging. No.
I'm not knocking. It was just a name I threw out there. But, like, yeah, there are actual things that he does well, especially on the defensive end. But the point I'm trying to make is that we're always reaching for, like, you know, give this guy a gold star sticker tonight because, like, he wasn't a complete liability out there.
Right. He literally didn't fall and hurt himself, you know, like, right. Wow. Right.
Right. Now, Bob, you seem like you're more upset with the timing of the article than what's actually
in the
article.
I'm upset about the timing. I mean, it's basically a hit piece on their struggles that mentions,
they're actually third
in net rating over the last 3 weeks. They're stuck in neutral, but they're rolling.
Bobby.
I mean, come on. You play the best team in the NBA tonight and you lose, and we're going to reinforce it with that.
Well, Bobby,
not
cool kid table, but like that table that you just, let's say a handful of GMs and half of them feel that way. Like, that wouldn't surprise me. Like, they've been in the league. Tatum and Brown have been in the league long enough
to
come up with that kind of opinion.
We can paint a rosy picture of this team after wins against Oklahoma and Dallas. I mean, Houston. But we can't say when they get absolutely eviscerated by actually a good team.
Maybe the best team.
That this game matters. So this one didn't matter, but the two blowouts against crappy opponents are what defines this team.
Well, it's not just the blowouts. You had 3 weeks of number one defense. You had 3 weeks without Brown of number 11 offense. You made serious progress on both sides of the ball under a new head coach. You're going in a better direction here.
You're going in a better direction.
Because you
were in such a bad direction before.
I know. And Jimmy, to your point, like, oh, we're grasping at things. That was the point Jackson Frank, I thought, made great on Twitter in reaction to this. Like, the story of here is that they've lost a ton of talent.
Yes.
They haven't replenished it. And all of a sudden, everything's on the Jays.
It's both.
So they're making progress. You're seeing young guys in this game hang in there against Durant and KD down the stretch and push it at 13. And we're just laughing at it?
It's always been both, Bobby. Yes, that's the thing. Always been both. It's always been that their job is harder because the roster around them is bad. So in order for them to get better, they're going to have to play different or play better than they are now, or
and
else they're a 500 team.
That.
No, they're not. They're not. This is a 500 team now for a year and 20 games. Okay,
I mean,
they're not.
Brown's been back for half a game with his.
Every team has injuries. Okay.
So I mean, I don't know how we're assessing his play in this. So, and then Tatum, you just watch how he plays. He gets off the ball. He gets off against the doubles. Did a great job against the Lakers. He's struggling to shoot for sure. And I do think we've said, like, at some point you're just playing bad. Instead of all these excuses that he's going through here. But this perception that he just cares about the stats, he's not looking to move out the ball. It's not true if you watch the game. It's just not. He's not a great ball mover. I don't think he necessarily raises the level of teammates, but he's working on it. He's getting better.
Okay, well, that was...
I guess, Bobby. But
I mean, we're in year two of him being the point forward on this team.
We are in year five of him going in the wrong direction with a lot of trends that you want to see going the other way. He attempts fewer shots at the rim. He ISOs more this year than he has in years past, and his shooting percentage is altogether down. He's not doing anything.
His three-point shot has been pretty bad.
He's not doing anything better yet. And so, yes, I know he's 23, and the idea behind that is that means there's a ton of room for growth, but he hasn't shown it in the last year and a half or 2 years. He hasn't. He's stuck in neutral, so to say. He is not getting better. In fact, he's kind of leaning into the stuff that you want to see him get away from at times. And this year, more so than any. That's it.
Well,
so he's not. He's not getting better. It doesn't mean he won't, but he hasn't in the last little bit.
Is there part of his game, or at least his attitude, that makes you wonder if maybe it's like he said a week ago, right? I know I need to get better. I know I'm not perfect. There's things that I'm working on. But sometimes I feel like I wonder if Tatum's wondering how much can the team adapt to him, you know, instead of the other way around.
Like Mike said, I've always believed the thing with Tatum is Jimmy and I are different on this. I believe that that Tatum wants really bad to do well. But the number one thing he knows how to do is to score. And so every time he's struggling, he just tries even harder to do it and sometimes exacerbates the problem because he's not a guy who's doing things in a lot of other ways to help you win games. It doesn't mean he doesn't grab some rebounds from time to time and play defense as well. Sure, he does other things, but just making people around you better or affecting the game like in a Marcus Smart sort of way or in a different way, or I'm going to start distributing or blah, blah, blah. No, he just leans in and he wants to score more, and he gets really frustrated when he can't, and he kind of leans back into some of his worst habits when things aren't going well. And as Ime said before the game, the offense affects the defense. So when he starts to go south, it really goes bad. All right, guys, quick pause. We want to tell you about one of our sponsors, and that is INSA. We're welcoming back INSA.
INSA.
Yeah. Exactly. It's one of Massachusetts' premier cannabis dispensaries, INSA, I-N-S-A. Their founders, Pat and Pete, they re-engineered the cannabis model from what they sell to how they sell it. INSA dispensaries are inviting. They're modern. The staff are authorities on the science. They go in there. They can answer any question, difference between flowers, concentrates, what you want to take for insomnia, anxiety.
Edibles.
Hanging out with friends, whatever you want. They'll tell you exactly what you need to fill your needs. World-class head chef there as well. And again, the founders, one thing we want to tell you about
head
them,
chef.
They're local. They're local. They're from Western Mass.
Salem.
Yep. No.
Oh, yeah.
Located in Salem. But
there's a location in Salem.
They're from Springfield. Bobby jumped the gun because the Salem location is near his house.
Springfield.
But they're lifelong pals from Springfield. There's a couple of locations out there, one near the MGM Casino. You can also go to East Hampton or, as Bobby said, Salem.
Salem.
This is the thing. Not enough people took advantage of this, so we're going to tell you about the deal one more time. If you go there and you mention that the Garden Report told you to stop by, you get a T-shirt for a penny. That's literally all you have to do. And then you get anything else you want there, too. That's not on us, but the T-shirt is on us. One penny.
You know what? And I have a couple T-shirts, and they're very comfy, too.
So yes. Go to
T-shirts.
Get that green one.
Otherwise, go to INSA.com or call 877-500-INSA for any inquiries you have about anything else going on. But if you want the T-shirt for a penny, just mention the Garden Report. Go get yourself some. Once again.
Have a good time.
Yeah, have a good time. Visit the various locations throughout Massachusetts or go to INSA.com or call 877-500-INSA.
I think I would agree with the majority of that.
Stuffing. I got to go check the stuffing.
Yeah. Again with the stuffing?
It was done. 10:30.
Yeah, it's obviously undercooked and he's freaking out about it. You don't want to overcook the stuffing. You don't want dry stuffing. Stuffing is very hit or miss. I would say probably the most hit or miss side of them all. Mashed potatoes, you can't really screw that up. You know, pies are pies, but stuffing, we won't get into it too much right now.
You have to really be bad to mess up some stuffing, you know?
I don't know, man. Stuffing, it can be dry. You can put the wrong, like, some stuffing is just like, what is all this crap in here? Anyways, that was stuffing talk. What are you making? What kind of stuffing are we talking about here?
This one has a little bit of sage sausage in it. And
okay, sausage is legit for good stuff.
And some oyster mushrooms, and then, you know, regular stuffing.
Oyster mushrooms.
I'm excited about pumpkin pie. I've been in the last few years.
Made a pumpkin pie, made an apple pie, made a mac and cheese.
You're a mac and cheese guy, huh?
I'm adding it because it's not something that they normally make, but I think you need minimum three types of stuffing at the table. Like a traditional one.
Three different stuffings?
Maybe a meat one and a cornbread one. Yes, definitely.
It's a lot of stuffing. Man.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuffing.
Three stuffings.
Three different stuffings. Okay. I mean, yeah, you can go with the simple bread stuffing as your safe bet.
It's fine. Yeah.
I think a sausage is fine, but I mean, three is a lot. I mean, you must have a lot of people coming over, though. I mean, that's fine.
No, I just think it's important.
Yeah. You doing mashed potatoes? I would think. Are you doing
of course.
I don't know. I mean, how many sides are you gonna have at this table?
I may still make another one tonight.
You doing like a
more.
Casserole of any
I'm
sort?
Making a corn casserole.
Okay, I like corn. Corn's a good one. Corn's a staple.
It's a good
corn.
One.
Cream of corn, or creamed corn.
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyways.
Anyway, it's like I said, I don't want to make this seem like an overreaction to one game. It's not. It's not. This game sucked, and it was a bit of a reality check.
And, hey, I said they were going to get blown out.
You did. Bobby called it on Monday. He said they're going to get blown out. So why are you? Then you should. I mean, you should be like not. You should have seen that article today and be like, yeah, it checks out.
Right.
I thought they were going to be able to. I thought they could compete. Maybe. I mean, is that so much to ask?
If they can't compete, and the Nets have the most shooting in the league.
If they can't even compete, then what are we doing?
Really? We know they're not championship contenders this year. I mean, our expectations 5 seed. And that's why, did anyone in the world have even East Finals expectations?
No, but you can still compete in a regular season game and not be an NBA Finals.
I think they did compete.
Contender.
In that second half.
Exactly. I was just going to say, Jimmy, I think 2 weeks ago, this wouldn't have been a game in the fourth quarter. It would have been the whole bench is, you know,
it wasn't
out.
A game. It was never a game. And when was it a game? It was a double digit.
I mean, you two are always looking for the strides from Romeo, Grant, Neesmith, these guys.
It's the easiest thing to do. To play when the other team quits, it's the easiest thing to do. There's no pressure. It doesn't matter.
Bobby, I look for that type of stuff in like a win. I don't look for it in a blowout loss where it's garbage time. That doesn't mean anything to me. And by the way, Grant missed a lot of shots tonight, as far as I can recall. I mean, none of those guys stood out to me tonight. Romeo had some solid defense. Yeah.
Grant and Romeo were both on the floor when you turned this from 29.
Yeah,
to
they
30.
Were. It doesn't they were. Matter. And who else was on the floor for the Nets?
Not Durant.
Yeah, they took their foot.
They took their foot off the gas, and the Celtics.
Runs happen in the NBA. Runs happen all the time in the NBA. The Nets went out to it was 18-3 to start the second quarter or whatever it was. Like micro runs happen. That's just the NBA, and you know you can take them with a grain of salt. I'll give them credit for it. I thought Marcus Smart was a big part of it, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here and say. The Celtics
Grant and Romeo both played well on defense. I mean, the defensive effort was incredible. The stretches where this team's flat out awesome on defense.
Stretches mean nothing. You have to play 48 minutes of basketball.
How's 3 weeks the number one defense? We're never going to talk about the defense. We're just going to keep complaining about the Jays.
We are going to talk about a 500 team. We're going to
talk
about
the defense. That's why they were successful over the last couple of weeks. But also remember who some of the teams that they're beating, too. I mean, the last three, four games that they played are against teams that you're not going to see in the playoffs.
There were other games too over 3 weeks. It wasn't just those two games that built up that resume for them. You have a pretty good stretch here where the Celtics have established themselves as one of the best, most disruptive teams on defense in the NBA. That had to be their identity this year. You saw it again in a half in this game with your regulars out there doing it alongside Romeo and Grant. That's why I take away some positives from that second half. This started midway through the third. This wasn't 5 minutes to go. You went on a little 10-0 run, and that was the game. You played a good second half of basketball here. Drew it really close.
Bobby, it's all fine and good, but at the end of the day, in this stretch, I mean, the reality is this. Yes, great. You beat some teams you're supposed to, but the good wins, Miami, and then you can give them the Lakers. Every other one is a team you're supposed to absolutely curb stomp.
What's wrong with that?
Hey, but that's the point. When you're playing Toronto, Milwaukee without their three best players, and you go to overtime, you split with Cleveland. Okay, you lose to Atlanta in a game that didn't really feel that particularly
lose
close.
To the Hawks by double digits.
Yeah, exactly. And then you beat Oklahoma. You
lose
beat
to the
Houston.
Mavericks
again. We're talking a stretch.
Brown was out for both those.
How
teams.
Are you not gonna look at? And again, they were out without Jalen, so you're gonna give them. You're gonna give them props.
No,
you're going to give him props for it. You missed Jalen, you missed Richardson, you missed Rob for portions of those. But you have to look at the opponents here. There are games there that are almost unlosable in that stretch. So you have to look at who you're playing as well. What matters is how you stack up against better teams. Two teams in the East that they've played recently that they expect are ahead of them, they lost in both fairly convincing fashion. Atlanta
that's
clearly
my
looks
issue.
Like a better team, and Philly fashion. Looks like a better team. And you had to go. You went to overtime with Milwaukee without their three best players. The reality is, they're miles from good teams. They're miles from them right now.
I expected a loss tonight, but again, I just wanted to see that they could hang in there and compete and give them a run for their money. A fake second half run when you're down 20 or 30 points. That doesn't mean anything to me. You've already lost the game.
And Nets were deep in their bench without two or three regulars in their lineup tonight, too.
So that's why I'm disappointed. I mean, do I expect the Celtics to beat the Nets? No. Do I wish that they could compete and make it interesting, especially at home? Yeah, I do. So I'm not going to give them a bunch of credit and say, oh, they hung in there, they competed, blah, 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 all this crap. Because that's fake. That's just not real. That's not how the game went. If you watched the game, and I know you guys did, there's no point. At no point in the game did you really think that they were in the game.
I turned to Josue. I thought they were going to win. I really did in that second half.
They never even cut the single digits.
Bobby, I never want you to change, buddy. I really don't.
They ran out of Brown minutes.
I don't.
They pulled Tatum with 6 minutes.
I don't know what I would
maybe
do.
Maybe that's why I thought it was close, because I was watching
if
it Bobby.
If I ever poison Bobby, if Bobby ever turns into a cynic, this whole thing is over. So
I don't even think we're being cynics. I just think we're being realists right now. I mean, listen, when the Celtics play well, we'll go check the tapes. We give them credit when they play well, and we criticize them when they don't. It's simple as that.
Listen,
if you want to say we're haters, then you're not watching every episode.
This crowd's been a pretty good barometer for this team over the last year and a half. They booed them. They booed them in the first half. A couple people left. But you had a pretty engaged, energized crowd really backing up what this team was
it's
giving
It's the night before the Thanksgiving. What do you expect? They're all having a good time.
This isn't last
paid a lot of money for that game. They're going to cheer if they can. Watch
I'm
it.
I'm just saying this isn't last year's Celtics. It may the only reality, be a little bit above that, but it's above that.
The reality is a lot of what came up in the article, timing aside, because again, I don't think the timing really matters, and I'll explain why after we tell you about. And people,
yeah, we could use this right now.
People have been calling for this for a while because they need to get a little calm here. So again,
perfect.
Everyone, just even if you're watching at home, inhale, big inhale, hold it, and exhale. And then go to com.com/garden.
Think about the stuffing.
Yeah, think about
the
multiple
pie.
Different stuffings and multiple
three stuffings
pies.
Tomorrow.
Go to garden, and com.com/garden.
com.com/garden. Number one,
receive
sleep.
40% off. Yep.
And meditation app. So you want
and
to
you know
get
what?
Some? Yeah.
You're probably home for the holidays right now. Whether maybe you're at your in-laws or your girlfriend, you're meeting the girlfriend's parents for the first time and you're freaking out. Go to com.com/garden. Receive 40% off the subscription. Go to the meditation tab on the app. There's
someone
a tab
does
there
this
called
to tell us about it. It's part
7 days of calm, I think it's called. And you can just start. It's a little program you can get on. And you just give yourself 20 minutes. Tomorrow morning, give yourself 20 minutes. Don't freak out. It's going to be mayhem in the kitchen. Oh, it's a bad football game. That's a
Thanks
very good
guys.
Point. It's a bad noon football game tomorrow. We're going to watch the whole thing anyways, but
I put that one up. No, I agree. The com.com. Sorry, you got to be able to see it. You got to be able to see
Jeez, I'm just
What is it? com.com/garden, number one sleep and meditation app out there, 40% off, limited time only, so go get some right now. And again, I do want to go back to it because every bit of frustration we have, I can't take this. It's not making
me
calm.
It's not working,
calm.
Jimmy.
It's not making me calm. It's upsetting me.
Well, that's typically not the reaction you would get.
No, right now I'm a little triggered.
That's just not his noise.
That's a difference. So there's a tap. There's a sound for everybody. That just wasn't John's sound. He's not a. I think that was a beachy vibe.
No, I just think every single thing comes back to a lot of like kind of said what came up in the article, and it's not like okay. Yeah, there's some quotes in there, and they could be cherry-picked, and there could be a hit piece, and it could be agenda-driven. I don't think so. Bon Toms isn't out there friggin' looking to slay people right now. I think he went around asking, what do you guys think of the Celtics? And a lot of people are like, we think they kind of stink. But this is the frustration with the team is like the general hopelessness you feel knowing you've only got Tatum and Brown. They do bear the brunt of the criticism because they're really the only guys you can look to because the rest of the team just isn't good enough to really get upset with. And that's kind of just where you're stuck is what's next. There's no other superstar. There's no kids to develop. There's no assets. There's no, you've missed on a bunch of draft picks. And this is what's frustrating is you're looking around. It's like, how is it going to get better? And again, we lived in a world as a Celtics fan, you know, where something was always possible. There were so many possibilities, whether it was guys you could get, things you could trade, picks you could make, and none of that exists now. The cupboard is bare.
It's tough.
That's where we got stuck last year, where we're like, oh man, they're in a tough spot right now. It's going to be very difficult for them to improve unless something happens. That's why we overreact to every Romeo, you know, decent game,
right,
or Grant hitting corner threes. Because the only way this gets better if all of a sudden these guys, you know, are transformed into something that we didn't expect, because there aren't a lot of other answers out there.
Well, the other factor too is the East. You need less breaks before in terms of maybe injuries, some teams falling off that you didn't expect, upsets, things of that regard that could push you further in the playoffs. Now, I was texting you guys earlier because I've been looking at the standings trying to figure out just where the Celtics are going to fall and kind of everybody ends up right when this is done. And you're going to need to catch breaks from probably two, maybe three teams, maybe four if the Hornets and Knicks stay in this to escape the play-in tournament. Otherwise, like, you have four locks for the top four. You have two teams that are probably better than you for five and six between, like, Miami, Atlanta.
That's the problem.
So, like, some of it just comes down to what other teams have done to improve over you, Washington and Chicago in particular. So that's part of where this ends up. I think all the context was in the article, John. I'm just – the pile-on on the Celtics – just frustrates me because this isn't just a case of a careless team that's completely out of it, not focused and not trying. I think they've sort of reversed that perception over the last
but that's not what the article's saying. The article's saying is their talent depleted. The article's saying you have two stars.
All the context is in there. Yeah.
The article's just saying stuff we know. It's hard to actually argue against. The two best players kind of do the same thing. They don't make each other better because they are mainly score first sort of guys, and they're terrific. Everyone likes them as talents, but the rest of the roster isn't good enough to compete. They just don't have enough high-end talent, and they have a lot of filler in that back end of that roster with people who are totally replaceable or totally forgettable, and they've drafted them. They have to play them, and they shoehorn them in, and you know, you get what you get, but the outside perception of the Celtics, when you're looking in here, you're not looking at them and being like, you know, ooh, Romeo or whatever, you know, like it's just.
Yeah, I mean, those guys aren't going to play when they're healthy. And when they're healthy, you have a Horford who has bucked expectations, Schroeder who has played pretty well here. A couple of things that I think put you, you know.
They can be competitive.
They
can be competitive. It's really more a matter of. It's a matter of the future because Schroeder's a Band-Aid is going to be hard to re-sign. Richardson is what Richardson is. And then Al is, you know, getting old and really is a guy you brought in just to be able to shed a contract who's been giving you a ton. But, like, those aren't building blocks for the future and they're not tradable assets. So you're just looking down the road thinking, where's it coming from, you know? Where, you know, what's that next thing going to be? And that's where I think people are looking at. That's what neutral means. Neutral means is they're good enough to maybe, if they overachieve, sneak into a 4-5 seed. If they play to what we think their potential is, maybe 6-7-8, who knows? But somewhere in that middle pack, and then what? You know, there isn't that ascendancy. You're not waiting for these two younger guys. It's not Tatum and Brown 3 years ago where you're like, wait till these guys get going. You just don't have that. You don't have high draft picks. You don't have money. And that's kind of what the article's talking about. That's neutral.
We knew all that. I mean, there's things we didn't know that we've learned, positive things coming into this year that I think improved this team's fortunes a little bit. I mean, defense can be the great differentiator in the standings. And what I've seen on this end, even with Kanter out there, John, blocking that corner three, Grant rotating on Harden, there's a lot of progress with this team defensively.
And the putback.
I thought they hung in there.
That was a good putback. Had been playing hard. They had been playing hard.
I thought they hung in there.
Yeah, but isn't that encouraging to you, John? I mean, you know, the three-game winning streak. I mean, sure, they dropped one. You know, the last game of that road trip. But the defense was they did a 180. You know, and this early, I just feel like we didn't get one stretch like that last season. We got a game like that, a game or two every other three games, but we never saw them put together a stretch like that on the defensive end.
We're talking about two different things here, Joe Sway. Like me and you, we're looking at the momentary things, game to game, this season that can make them competitive, maybe make them surprise people by a seed or two here. Jimmy and John are hammering on the big picture that there's no path to contention. There's no real title aspirations for this team this year or in coming years based off how everything's falling into place here. Both those things are true. The only problem I have with the piece is just laying it all on the Jays and just saying these guys aren't good enough to fix this. They're not making progress. They're not making other people better. Let me ask you two this. If you put Mills, Bembry, Aldrich, that net supporting cast, let's say Joe Harris too, even though he didn't play tonight, on Tatum and Brown side, and you put Grant, Romeo, Richardson, those type of guys on the net side next to Harden and Durant, are Harden and Durant looking like great creators?
I think Harden's a great creator. I mean, Harden's obviously a way better creator.
They're better, but are they looking like great creators? Are they making people?
I mean, you're basically saying, you know, their supporting cast is better than Celtics' supporting cast, which is true. That is true, but they're also better than the Celtics stars too. So they're just a better team from top to bottom. I can't hear you.
Yeah, the two stars are exponentially better. Well, not exponentially, but they're significantly better than Tatum and Brown.
Yeah, I know that. I'm just saying. I think part of the perception here that we've seen over the last 2 years with the Jays.
Yeah, you don't have a Joe Harris. You don't have a Joe Harris, obviously. You don't have a Patty. Well, you do have a Patty Mills in a way.
And Javonte Green, you had semi last year. Like, these are the wing guys that they're dishing out to that they're trying to make better. They don't move. They don't cut for the most part. Like, these are guys that are just kind of stationary. And look, I think the great passers in this league create lanes for guys. They certainly produce in the pick and roll with Tatum and Brown need to do. They could be getting more out of Rob, as we've talked about all season. I think that's a guy who has kind of suffered due to their poor passing. But
that sucks.
Yeah. But so, Jalen, I don't think these are just horrible passers who can't get guys open and can't create for others. Tatum in particular. Brown, like, I think his creation ability gets overblown because he's never really doing it. Like, that's not a responsibility thrust upon him. He doesn't have the ball much. I didn't like the film. If you go in that CLNS article and look at him in that game, hanging out in the corner, stuff Joe Sway talks about all the time, not involving himself. That's probably a reason he doesn't get the ball from Tatum a ton. Like, it's not time to rest when Tatum's got the ball. Go create, find the ball.
The giving people the ball is twofold. It's a choice you make, but it's also somebody has to earn the ball, which means move without the ball. Get yourself open sometimes. There's not a lot of movement off the ball. There's a bunch of guys standing around saying, can I have the ball? And then it's like, sure, okay, I guess you can have it now. You're standing a few feet away from me. Why not? You know, like, it's, you know, and yes, they're better when they swing it and really get movement, but you know, once somebody gets it and they start doing their little dribble thing, it's, should I go or should I give it to you? And do you want to do the same exact thing I'm about to do? You know, and that's just kind of how they end up playing.
That's the most fair criticism of Tatum, right? And this is, you know, on Ime too, because Ime has a stomach for isolation. He says if these guys find mismatches, they should attack it. They should take advantage of that. So there's been a leniency on Tatum's isolation here. And we look at the numbers again. He's diving into that isolation hole quite a bit, and it's not working well.
And it's not working. So it's not working for Schroeder, and it's not working for Brown. It's not working for any of them right now.
Horford in the post. I mean, Horford is a mess offensively right now.
Yeah, he's been incredible. So Jaylen Brown asked an interesting question. The reporter asked him, how far behind are you from the Celtics? From the Nets, excuse me. Like, you know, Jaylen asked to repeat the question. The guy pointed at the scoreboard, pointed at last season and says, at this point, you know, do you feel like you're very far behind, you know, from the Nets? Like, and he, Jalen responds, what do you mean by that? And the guy says, are the Nets better than the Celtics? Like, pretty much just say, like, do you think that? He's like, well, look, we had a bad game tonight, but I don't think that anyone in the NBA that's, you know, I wouldn't say that about anyone in the NBA. In other words, saying like, we could be anybody. And he's saying that he doesn't think that, you know, any team out there is better than the Celtics, and that, that for this night, they were better. They were the better team, but that doesn't necessarily mean, like, he goes, he paused and he goes, I'm not quite sure I know how to answer that question. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird question. I can't really expect any NBA player to, like, unless say another team's better than us.
Unless you're Embiid.
Yeah, right.
Not a rivalry.
At the end of the season, you can make that
determination.
At the end of the season, you can make that determination. But, yeah, I mean, tonight, the Nets were clearly the better team, if that's, you know, that's an obvious one. You know, I don't expect anyone on the Celtics to lay down.
I mean, Kyrie into this mix. They're looking scary again. They're better than last year. Defensively, there's a little bit of an identity forming there. You saw it tonight. They made it tough on Boston for stretches. Their role players are better. I mean, Patty Mills. It felt like the Celtics had him for a minute just because of the Ime connection. Then he goes to the Nets, and you're like, oh, no, the rich got richer.
Yeah,
and
everyone, man, just they speculated. Get
he hits every single three he takes for this team. It's unreal. And that could have really helped the Celtics.
He would have been perfect on the Celtics. That was one of the reasons why they thought, a lot of people thought it would be a match made in heaven. Oh, you got Ime, you know, they have a role for this guy. And, yeah, you're right. All of a sudden, he just goes to the Nets and just like, oof, that one hurt. And tonight, think about how huge that signing ended up being, because they were expecting Kyrie to play still at that point. It wasn't like they thought they weren't going to have Kyrie. But imagine if they didn't have Mills. I mean, that'd be a huge, huge void at that position for them.
Bembry's been good. Harris has been great shooting. Aldridge, man. Looks like Aldridge never left, huh? Like the turnarounds.
Yeah, I can't figure that out.
Finishing.
He needs to be tested for steroids.
Yeah, he's been awesome. So, I mean, that's an implication at the top of the East. And that's, you know, to answer the question for Brown, this team's miles behind that. It's Chicago, it's Brooklyn, it's Milwaukee, and then it's everybody else, I'd say.
Wait, what do you think it is?
Chicago's in that group, Brooklyn and Milwaukee.
Not Philly?
Well, you hate Philly, Bobby. He hated Philly last year, too. Philly's playing well, though.
I'd say they're between the top and the rest.
They're
of the
beating team. Up on the Warriors right now.
If they don't replace Simmons' slot, really? They're not in that upper echelon.
Oh, 16. Yeah. 16. Yeah, I mean, the Sixers have an interesting situation in their own right, so who knows how that's going to shape up.
I don't know. I don't think they're missing a beat. What they're getting out of Maxey and Curry right now is better than the combined effort of what they were getting out of Simmons. I don't think they're that far behind when they're fully loaded. You know, obviously Embiid missed a bunch of games and that's not great, but I think that team enters that upper echelon conversation.
Hornets.
I think you're looking at Brooklyn, Miami, and Milwaukee as the clear top three. I think you're looking at a middle class of Chicago, Washington, Charlotte, and Philly and Atlanta that are all ahead of you again.
Oh, yeah, Atlanta too.
I mean, you are really, 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 it's hard to
that's
put
what
the Celtics
I was saying. Like,
it's
don't
hard
sleep
to
on
put
Indy.
The Celtics ahead of
don't sleep
any
on my
of those
Pacers.
Teams.
Yeah, I'm sleeping on the Pacers, but Washington, I believe in. Like, we're 20 games in now. That's when you start to kind of know where.
I do not believe in Washington. I think the Celtics will overtake them.
They have the LA Lakers championship supporting cast, and they've added Dinwiddie. Beal will be Beal again at some point. They have good interior.
I'm not
play.
Buying.
They're better than the Celtics.
I buy Chicago fully. I think clear cut Brooklyn, Miami, Chicago. Milwaukee, Philly, Atlanta, six.
That's
clearly,
six right there, yeah.
Six clearly
the
ahead.
Playing.
The
six,
Knicks are right there.
Six clearly ahead of you. The Knicks are a bit of a mess right now, but again, so are the Celtics.
I think the Celtics are better than the Knicks.
But the Celtics are in a mix, I think. I didn't even mention Washington, Bobby, among that six. I think the Celtics are more in a mix.
That's what I was saying this morning. Like, it's
with
hard
Washington,
to the
New York, Cleveland, and Celtics, I think, are in the mix for that seven through ten. Situation.
Oof.
Right?
Yeah.
And
I mean, that
you
was
know,
that's
and
what I said to start the season.
Yeah,
I think
I
one
agree.
Of my bold
I mean,
predictions
think,
was there's
yeah.
six at best, I think I said.
Yeah. I think those six you can really those six are solid ahead of them. Would it be stunning if they snuck into a five or you know, no,
no
not stunning.
No,
they absolutely
stunning.
Can play
some breaks. I mean the Cavs
they
are.
Can absolutely play there, but you're still talking about, you know, potential first round. I mean, you know, you're playing a really good team in the first round. I mean, it's
no matter what.
It's a long road. It's a tough one. So who knows? But anyway,
but that's and that's the discouraging thing is now you're not the better team in the first round where you used to be.
I will say if the Celtics maintain this defensive identity that they have built early on, they'll be tough for teams to see first round too.
Well, I think they'll.
I'm not treating them like this defensive juggernaut yet.
Yeah,
like
I think the defense will allow them to win regular season games if they keep up that intensity, because most teams aren't bringing that level of intensity to most regular season games. So that should allow them to stack up enough wins to get into the playoffs. In the playoffs, I don't think that amounts to shit. You know, the shot making becomes the thing, and that's where they'll be exposed. So yes, I actually do think they can stay competitive and play with that defense, but in the playoffs would be hard. It's hard, you know? So well, I don't know. It's where we are.
I feel like that's the margin of effort. Like that little extra oomph is what they lacked this tonight. Right. And in a best of seven series, you know, like the worst type of like matchup you could have, especially if this team gets momentum going into the playoffs. But obviously that's way down the road. Overall, I still like this homestand for the Celtics. I still think they're trending in the right direction. Sure, they're reminded that they're not quite on that top of the Eastern Conference level yet, that's could be what they're striving for.
Ime said it was a good homestand. It could have been a great one.
It could have been a great one. That's a perfect way to put it. Like, again, it shows you where you stand, so to speak.
I mean, okay.
They won, what, 3 out of 4? I mean, 3 out of 4.
You blew out the Rockets, worst team in the league. You did a really impressive win against the Lakers. You pulled together on that one. So, it's overall a good homestand, you know?
They've righted the ship. 8-4 over the last 12. Their numbers stack up in the league.
The stuffing is really good, according to my wife.
Okay.
So, that's another win. Yes. This one was robo stuffing, by the way. I didn't follow a recipe. I just read 3 or 4 recipes and I just winged it.
Heat up tomorrow, dab of this, touch
but it's
that.
Stuffing, right? I mean, you can't. How bad can
it's
you mess it up?
It's just all getting globbed together.
It's
on the
mashed
plate.
It's all mashed together, right?
Right. Yeah. It's mayhem. You know, Thanksgiving. It's everyone's just throwing stuff in the plate. Nobody remembers what's what. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the schedule, just in terms of how it got weak. I was ramped up again tonight, and it was an actual test that they fell short on. I think you're looking at a month ahead here that's going to write the story on this team. When you think of Philadelphia coming up next week, this weekend, I think a few tough games. You know, the Spurs aren't, Toronto's not. But once you get to that Philadelphia game, and then a West Coast trip that follows, Utah, Portland, Lakers, Clippers, Suns, then right into the Bucks, Warriors, Knicks, Philly – I'd say between now and, you know, right around Christmas time, you'll really have a feel on what this team is.
Yeah. I think we know.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing is like, it's not negative. I'm really not trying to be. I just think we know what they are, and it's a bummer.
Wow, you're right. You're right, Bobby. You just named this. Did you just list off the schedule?
Oh, I looked at the phone. Yeah.
No, I just did too. It's difficult.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be surprised by anything that the team does, you know, and that's in either direction. I don't think we'll be surprised if they put together a really good string and they're competitive and their defense plays well and they're getting, you know, solid performances nightly out of Tatum and Brown and stringing together some wins and content and playing competitively against some of the better teams in the East. That wouldn't be surprising. But I also just think, you know, that their ceiling is kind of capped and it is what it is, and they're very far off. And I don't know, as I said, as a Celtics fan, is very used to kind of quick fix solutions, and I just don't see one here. So you have to do something drastic, or you just accept kind of being stuck in the middle for a little bit. And again, back to the stuck in neutral. That's just kind of where they are.
I'm mildly concerned about Jaylen, as you pointed out during the game, John. He didn't look right to me in warmups. He didn't look right to me during the game. Ime said he had the burst. I didn't really see it. It looked like it was kind of a borderline thing that he would play, and they even said he'll be day-to-day for the next week here. So I don't know why he played. It didn't help them a ton.
He said after
I don't
the game,
get it at all. After
the game, he said he felt better tonight. I mean, I just looked at a tweet. I don't know.
I don't get it at all. To me, it's like, you know, soft tissue injuries, you wait until it's 1,000%. You gain nothing.
I know,
what's
he going to miss the next game? And you, it's like,
that's not how these things go. You don't mess with hamstrings like this. You don't rush it and then play it game by game. You just wait, you know?
And what's the point?
I don't get it.
Pushing him into this when he didn't help you a ton. You lost big anyway.
0-for-8. Damn.
I was kind of
so him and Brown were 1-for-17 from three.
Tatum,
that's the
Brown,
story.
Yeah.
That's really the story at the end of it.
Those are bad. Bad.
Typically not the
and,
numbers you
but that's
see.
The stuff to it again, right? It's you know, it's just bad, bad.
Simple
bad.
Game. It's a simple game. It's a make miss league, boys.
As they like to say.
A lot of potential points tonight.
I've heard that before. Make miss league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what were the I didn't look finally, but like
Jesus,
you know, I wanted to see points in the paint.
They didn't get inside at all, really.
I didn't think they did.
I mean, Horford. Here's the tricky thing about Rob being down is Horford is not
38 to 40
Boston.
Celtics won.
Celtics won that.
40 to 38.
They won second chance points.
They won fast break points,
but I'm guessing a lot of it was the empty calories in that late run.
Here's the thing about Rob's injury or sickness, whatever's going on now.
48 3-point attempts.
Horford's not showing to be a backup per se of like what Rob brings him on offense because he's not hitting the threes. His touch around the rim's really off, so he's not a pick and roll threat right now for the most part. So, I mean, that's probably why you saw a little bit of Cantor in this one for the offensive help there. And
Jabari.
And Jabari helped immensely in the second half with his rim pressure there. it's a bummer. I mean, that's not what you were expecting from Horford. Like, this elite all defense run he's on and then just really looking lost offensively because it was the other way around last time he was
here.
Well,
Marcus throws him some lobs, you know.
I know, but the touch and then the three-point shot. I mean, he was shooting 37% for 5 years. Now he's like really.
Well, he had that one year here where he shot 44% for the year, which was insane. And you know, realistically, he's you know a mid to high.
But he's not a 28% guy like he is right now.
No, it's been bad. Yeah. It's been bad now. All right. Well, I guess that's it. That's the best we're gonna do tonight.
Let's just forget about this game. What do you say?
We'll forget about it.
You know, we're going to just fire up the Calm app and just forget about the game. Focus on something different.
Calm.com/garden, 40% off. Go get some.
For the premium subscription.
I will say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We are immensely thankful for all of you hanging out here and listening to us.
Thank you.
And me just be a bitter, angry man. You know. About
well, you need
about,
to have a cooking podcast, I think, John, by the sound of it.
About
Jimmy John.
The Jimmy John podcast cook. Featuring John's stuffing
John
and pies.
John can school Jimmy. He can put him it'll right. be like Gordon Ramsay.
You probably would. What are we working with pies over there tomorrow since you got three different stuffings? Is there
the
a go-to pie for you guys?
So I made what my daughter wanted. She wanted an apple and she wanted a pumpkin pie. I'm a cherry pie guy. We ended up not cherry going pie. That route, but that's just me.
Naturally. You're not, you don't sound upset about that.
That's all right. Well, I love
cherry
it.
Cherry pie.
I love that.
She's my cherry pie.
You guys got a final thought before we wrap it?
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us. It's always fun. These games aren't always fun, but I always look forward to chatting with you guys and everyone who watches along in the comments. So that would be my final thought. Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving with your friends, your family, or whoever. That's pretty much it. Enjoy some food and whatever football games are on tomorrow. Not a great one in the day. I know that,
yeah, too bad no NBA. I mean, the NBA has been awesome this year so far. The following, I'm thankful for just the competition level around the league right now. It's been awesome games left and right. A few really good Celtics ones so far to start this year. You know, I've been – this isn't like the – I don't have like the dreary, like, awful feeling around this team so far, covering them and just talking about them every night that I did last year. I think this year
it's not. It's much better.
It's going to be tumultuous. There's going to be a lot of up and downs. I still think there'll be like that 500-ish feel that we talk about, all the experiences that we go through with many of these players. But I think the effort, the intensity, the buy-in to the coach and the defense is there. So we're going to have a team to talk about all year, for better or worse.
All right, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. What's everyone's favorite side dish? Did we do that, by the way? Did we do that last year?
I hate
last year.
This.
I wouldn't know. I'm not gonna argue it. I'm not gonna argue it. Everyone can have their favorite.
John's is obvious stuffing, right?
Judon hates mac and cheese, which is to me that was kind of a wild move.
Well, here's the problem.
Judon got the Durant jersey tonight.
If you're eating like, it depends what kind of mac and cheese. Like if you're eating like, you know, you're talking about putting like Velveeta shells on the table. Like, yeah, gross. No, thank you. But if you're having like,
I wouldn't say those are gross, but it's not really a Thanksgiving.
But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
It's not appropriate for Thanksgiving.
It's got to be. You got to do a little bit more work than that.
If you get to work and really do something special, then yes, absolutely.
Powdered potatoes.
It's not right. It's not just mac.
My issue with mac and cheese is that I would probably just eat too much mac and cheese. It's just one of those things where I just keep going back for.
Well, last year
over all the sides.
I made a lobster mac and cheese last year, and it friggin' dominated the table, and people didn't eat anything.
That's extra,
oh, that's unfair. I mean,
that's extra, man. Yeah, that's not really a Thanksgiving.
It was cheating.
Yeah,
it was cheating.
Totally.
It's like Secret Santa. Instead of spending $5, you spend like $100, and you're like, you know,
like, oh, who made the lobster mac
and
cheese?
Oh, wow, who got
so good?
That's like
who got the
like,
iPad? You know,
that's like putting a rack of crab legs next to your burger.
People, somebody brings like canned cranberry sauce. That's like the crappy gift. But listen, canned cranberry sauce slaps. I'll do the canned over the regular stuff.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Don't give me don't waste your time making like homemade cranberry sauce. I don't want it. Just open up the can, plop that thing, that jelly out, and just
listen. We're gonna.
I'll go off. I'll be fine.
We're gonna post some pictures of our food. We're gonna, you know, retweet it at Celtic CLNS. We'll see what everybody's got going on.
Mac and cheese. I think it's a side dish in parts of the country. It's not as much in the Northeast, I don't think. Unless I just made that up. I don't think it's a common side dish for Thanksgiving, at least around here.
No, but it's creeping over the last couple of years. It's rising fast.
It's creeping because people are like, what have we been waiting for? You know,
well, because people always like mac and cheese. You can eat that anytime. You can't really just go around eating stuffing on like a casual Wednesday afternoon. Like, it's a weird look.
No, but the point is like, there's no rules.
There's no rules. I mean, you can go buy a cake and have a cake whenever you want. There's no rules against it, but it's just kind of strange to do it. Like, you can go to the supermarket and buy a cake right now. It doesn't have to be your birthday.
I think you're just worried about mac and cheese stealing from your other experiences. Just put the portions appropriately. I mean, this is the key to Thanksgiving. You can't sprint in. Well, you're probably going to, but you got to be able to last.
Next
all
year, I'm just going to make, like, a rack of ribs and bring it there.
Right. Well, that's like, there's no rules, apparently. You can just make whatever you want. I mean, a lot of people don't even like turkey.
Isn't that what, like,
that's what happens in Friendsgiving. Yeah.
Someone brought spaghetti and meatballs.
Like, all kinds of
bring whatever you want.
Yeah. But I like that stuff. Like,
it's like literally every entree you can think of, people are bringing that.
Especially if you throw like ethnic stuff into the mix. Like, I used to get like some Greek stuff in there too. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know, like, you know, I like
Jimmy
that.
Jimmy has a strict rule.
Yeah. We got a side of rice on my place.
Traditional Thanksgiving.
Good.
Mashed potatoes only as a side. No, but anyway, I mean, you don't want too many cheesy sides. Like, if you're doing like a casserole or like a potato au gratin or whatever, like, you got to be careful. You don't want too much.
Jimmy refers to what the.
But here's the thing. You could easily do turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, cranberry as the big five.
Gravy's important.
And that's it.
Gravy's not
However,
important.
If you're going to start to put other dumb stuff in there, I'm going to knock it right out and go to mac and cheese, you know, and something else. So, like, putting steep carrots.
John, like, get that green bean casserole the
get
hell off
Get your freaking green bean casserole in your
that's normal.
Out.
That's
fine.
John wants to upgrade.
You want to go
mac and cheese will murder
fine.
Carrot casserole. Obviously, there's no comparison.
But people still do dumb stuff like that.
Oh, I know. People just don't read the room. Just read the room. You know, you're going. You know, nobody's Nobody's dying for your green bean casserole. I mean, I shouldn't speak for everybody, but personally, I'm not a big green bean guy.
I never even heard of that before.
That might shock you.
If I send you a picture, Bob, you know what it is. You've seen it before for sure. But anyways, back to the Celtics. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. For the C's, going up against the San Antonio Spurs, look, just stick with the program. I know we've been saying this the last couple of nights, but I want to see how you can respond to loss like this. Like, let's see that heart and let's see that effort and that you know, play for pride that we saw throughout this homestand up until tonight. So I think there's a good chance
Friday
to see that.
Tricky.
But my only fear is if someone like Jalen's not playing and, you know, guys are out of the mix, Tatum's going to have to step up in a big way here. So let's see how Tatum responds. I'm not saying he's not up for the task, but it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be an easy game for the Celtics. But we'll see where they stand on the effort meter.
I'm not stuffing shaming. I love stuffing. It's just very unpredictable. You don't want it to be too dry. If it's too dry, you need to douse it with gravy. And you don't even,
I just can't wait for this show to end because apparently I hit it out of the park with this robo stuffing.
Gravy.
And I haven't even tried it yet. I got to go try it. Yeah.
We underrated gravy. We didn't even talk about it.
Gravy is a necessity, especially if you're turkey. Yeah. If you're getting the white meat part of the turkey,
everything
that should be a little dry.
But that's
you
your mistake. You don't
gravy.
Eat you
the
don't
whole
eat white
plate.
Meat.
You smother the whole plate in gravy.
But you can't. Not everyone can have the dark meat. There's only what do you got? The legs? That's it. Like
the
you,
thigh.
The thigh,
and the drumsticks, and that's what I get. Yes. I get
Well, you're the, you know, dad gets the dark meats.
The thigh's the best meat there is.
The kids are stuck with the, you know. Yeah, and a big glass of milk.
Dad gets the dog.
Bobby, was that you the other night?
I'll do milk. A lot of people think that's weird. I'll do milk.
Bobby was cooking, boneless chicken thighs. There's nothing better than that. I love it.
That's great.
Oh, it's one of my go-tos. Nothing wrong with that.
With the bone and the skin is also good. You got to get good cocktails going, too. So I get some nice Bloody Mary.
You
got to
get some cocktails going.
We're at the garden. We gotta get home.
Sounds like you gotta drink and, you know, breakfast.
You guys gotta go. You guys gotta go.
I'm a pumpkin bread guy. I'm a big pumpkin bread guy. I'll make pumpkin bread actually. So I'm more of a pumpkin bread than pie. The pie's a little too sweet.
Listen, Jimmy,
a little cream cheese on it.
We got empty stomachs here. We got work to do.
Go go go! Josue and Bobby got stuff to do.
All right, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, all.
Happy Thanksgiving.